Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 66 and this week's guest is Ed Doucette. Ed comes to talk with us about shooting 35mm, doing some color work, and shooting a bunch of dummies. Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 66. And with us, as always, we have Salt Lord Bartram, Andrew the Salt Lord Bartram.
It's official. That's official. My new title. Clickety-click, 66. Clickety-click, 66. Two fat ladies, 66. I think two fat ladies, is it 66? Somebody
no
who's a bit...
No,
I'm starting to doubt myself now. I can't remember whether two fat ladies are 66. It's certainly clickety-click, 66, and it used to be Maggie's Den, number 10.
Right.
If you're a bingo, do you not have bingo in America?
We do, but I'm not old enough to play.
You can get a really...
You are, though, Andrew.
You get like a big set of bingo pens, you know, to mark off your numbers.
And great put stuff. The blobs with the dots.
Yeah, we go to caravanning bingo conventions. It's a height of excitement.
That sounds totally boring. No, I'm just picking.
Should we introduce our guests so we don't keep them hanging on? Then he can join in our foolish banter.
Go ahead, Andrew. You can do it.
Really? So those of you who follow along in the Lensless Podcast Facebook group won't know him, but Ed Doucette, otherwise known as Jiffy Cat, and he can explain himself as such a foolish name in a minute, is on a very active part of our Flickr group. And I've been trying to get him to come back into the light and rejoin Facebook just so he can be part of the group. So, Ed, it's lovely to finally speak to you.
Hey, nice to be on. Thanks.
It is. So you're in a sort of New England-y type location of the world, is that right?
Correct.
I went there once.
Hudson, Mass.
Yeah. And I was a great fan of that Fargo film and... Is that New England way or is that further over?
Oh, that's North Dakota.
Yeah, that's North Dakota.
Is it
way?
They sound a bit like you guys. I thought I was detecting that sort of same twat. There's a sort of accent. I'm very, very good ear for accents, and I thought
you weren't.
Clearly not that good.
Not this time.
I remember the Boston thing's way different.
I remember the lady that we stayed with near Sandwich, and she just got a new car. Or she said, "Do you like my new car? I got a new car."
Yeah.
Is that she was friend from your neck of
car? That's a car.
Care.
Art does not exist.
Anyway, I'm officially the Salt Lord Prince, Salt Lord, because Graham Young, he of the Homemade Camera Podcast, sent me a postcard. Should I read it to you?
Yeah.
You sure? Because I'm not sure he hasn't got very good writing. Graham, you need to write a bit slower. Andrew, this is a print from my first day of printing in 25 years. Wow.
Wow.
Note to self, prints dry darker than they appear in the wash. Well, Graham, you've sent me this on the awesome Ilford Multigrade portfolio postcard paper, and that's resin coated and... I know what you mean, but really dry down is something you see on fiber-based paper more. But let's just say this is a moody tree stump print that you've sent me. Very nice. Thanks for keeping up a positive dialogue about printing. It is wonderful to hear. Graham Young, Homemade Camera Podcast.
Oh.
How about that?
He sent me some prints also.
Did he send you this moody tree stump picture?
I don't think so. I got to go look at him. But he sent me. He also sent me some of those 3D printed inserts to put into your Holga.
Oh, you see, he's not sending me goodies. He's just sending me pictures.
No, you're not good enough. That's why.
Right. Come on, Graham. Stop. Stop showing preferential behavior.
So, that's because I'm better than you, Andrew. That's why.
I know. You are. You've been at it a long time. So you've been... I've exposed three pinhole pictures this week. All cool. Part of my hotel...
Series?
My hotel ghosts series. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I was trying to get away from the looking depressed sort of picture of me. So I was doing some variations on it. It's still in hotel rooms, but I was doing things with my suitcase and the clothes and stuff. So we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a bit stressed at the sheer amount of films I've got piling up in the darkroom. Color, print, color prints, color slides. And I'm getting anxious on what color slide kit to buy.
Oh, you mean stuff that you need to develop film wise?
Yeah. And I've got 4x5 holders full of X-ray film and FP4.
Yikes.
And because, you know, this time of the year we're super busy at home here and away at weekends. And then it's been so hot the last week. It's not so hot now, but we had the sort of temperatures up just below 39 degrees centigrade, so 104 Fahrenheit. We don't have air conditioning. At least you guys, we have to put up with those temperatures with no air conditioning. You see how tough we are.
I bet you Brits are probably all sunburned right now, aren't you?
No, I don't.
Everybody looks like a bunch of pink hot dogs over there right now.
I don't go out in the sun. Even if I go on holiday, I hide in the shadows.
Right,
so place to be.
Talking of lurking in the shadows, Ed does a lot of lurking in the shadows, looking at his photographs.
Yeah.
Corey.
Andrew.
Well, have you been up to anything exciting before we grill Ed over his lurking in shadow photographs?
Not much. I've shot a little bit of things this week, but I haven't really got out and done much. I'm in the same boat you are. Every day I come home from work, I'd say, I'm going to go home and do this and develop two rolls of film, you know, and I get home and something happens and I don't get to it. But I've got the same situation with probably 10 to 12 rolls of film staring at me in my in my pantry in my bedroom. I have a little bookcase, you know, and they're just lined up looking at me. So
you've got to just dive in. When I retire, I'll have plenty of time next year when I'm.
Well, the thing that drives me crazy now is I like doing the stand development, but the only thing bad about stand development is that you have to make sure that you're free in an hour, you know.
Yeah, if you just did normal development, it'd all be over in 20 minutes.
So I'm going to I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm probably just going to do it all back to normal. I need to get some more reels because I only have two reels, and that makes it hard. If I had two more reels, then I could do four rolls, you know, at a sitting. And be caught up almost.
Do you mean the, you know,
the Patterson Quickers? Yeah. Yeah, I got to get a couple more of those.
Well, if you live near me, you could just have some of mine. I've got loads of the damn things.
Well, send them to me.
No, oh, it's far too expensive.
Oh.
Ed, let's just move away from this before Corey's trying to cost me money. Let's talk about something else. Ed, do you develop any slide films? That's my because I need to buy a slide film or a Chrome, you know, E6 kit.
I have nothing to do with slides. Sorry.
All right. So remind me why we brought you on here. Corey, have you developed E6?
Kind of.
Have you? And what kit did you use? The Unicolor?
I used the C41 kit.
Oh, you cross-processed.
Yeah, I just cross-processed it. But, I mean, I would just get the E6 version of the one that whatever you can get. I mean, I don't really think it's going to be that.
I know. There's two or three I can get. There's the Tetinel one, which is now back. Now that Tetinel have come out of their troubles and they're starting to make... Because Tetinel make chemicals for pretty much all the labs through Europe. I don't know about the USA, but they're a massive supplier of chemicals to laboratories, and they got into some financial difficulties, or part of them did last year, and they've come out of it now with a sort of new management buyout. And I noticed that the 2.5 liter Tetinel kits are back on sale. There's another one from Italy being sold in called Bellini, which is a 6 bath kit. I don't know if I'll go for that. Some people keep telling me it's better than the Tetinel one. But I've never developed E6 before. I've developed lots of C41, but not E6.
Well, Ed, you're thinking about getting into it, aren't you? Color?
Yeah, we were just talking about the color development. I have to bring it to shop, you know, 20 miles away right now. Everything else closed.
Right.
There's one place around here.
Oh, it's dead easy. It's easier. Do you do... develop your own black and white?
I do the black and white,
Well, color's easier because it's just one time.
Yeah.
And I don't
have to try it.
You should save up maybe a dozen or so rolls and buy a 1 liter kit, and that's you can squeeze more than 12 out, but 12 is maybe a good number.
Well, that's what I was telling him earlier. Ed was asking me about it, and I was telling him that I actually like my kits. I stretch them even farther than that. I like the kits on the back side of their life, where the colors get toned down a little bit more.
Okay.
Kind of more exhausted, you know? Because the first couple rolls that you do of it, they're just like, you know, so bright and vibrant and just way too happy for me.
I'm not very good at the scanning side of color, really, because I'm, you know, I hate the color casts and things, you know?
Just have to pick something gray, Andrew, and do your color balance off of that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So, Ed.
Yeah.
Are you looking at your Flickr page for Pinhole?
Yeah, I got it.
You got tons of stuff in here. And it looks like you're shooting some wide stuff, and it looks like you're shooting maybe 6-4-5.
Yeah, I got two cameras.
Yeah, so what are you shooting with the most?
P. Sharon. 35mm, which is now defunct, apparently, because I've been through four of them.
Wow.
It's a cardboard camera kit.
Yeah, I know.
I like it because it's not clear. I mean, I've had a zero. I don't like how it looks, you know, too precise, basically.
Yeah.
I like the fuzz. I like the crud that you get with this P. Sharon. So I actually bought another one off of eBay last night.
There you go.
So I got one for maybe five more years. And the other thing I shoot with is I had a Holga, which broke after like a day. Hmm. So instead of throwing it out, I took a piece of tin foil and popped it with a pin.
Yeah.
Filed that down.
Sure.
And I amazingly hit it just right. The length, and that camera's been great. Better stuff with that.
Yeah. Holga Week is coming up. It's been taken over by Mr. Holga, so it's going to be in October this year, and he's adding a pinhole Holga section, so you should check it out. I'll put the link in the show notes.
Keep an eye. Are you a Twitter person, Ed, or is it just Flickr?
Just this.
So, folks,
I'm antisocial, I guess.
If you search for Ed Doucette on Flickr, Doucette.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Corey set you up for that.
Doucette. Anyway, you won't find him. You'll find him under Jiffy Cat. So, come on then, Ed. I'll just call you Ed. I won't bother with your surname.
Right. Fair enough.
Explain to our good listeners why you're called Jiffy Cat.
Because I started this in, I don't know, 2006, just with the Flickr. And it was like a house family talisman, this little thing we had. I just picked that. I know. It started with digital and soon became this sort of freak who does robot pictures. My goal was to do stuff that people wouldn't see anywhere else. I didn't want to be boring. Yeah. So I started with that and actually got pretty popular photographing tin robots. So much so that like Capcom, the arcade company and video game things, they bought a bunch of my images to make an arcade out of.
Sweet.
Which was like, wow. And then I got a greeting card company.
Holy cow.
Contract and a skins for computer thing.
That's awesome.
Then I threw it all away. I was not happy doing that anymore. At the same time, I was getting into the pinhole because I bought this camera for my kid and he wasn't using it. So I put the P. Sharon together and started messing around with that. And soon I came into a bunch of happy accidents with certain effects. And, that's cool. I can do that. I can do that. I didn't know you could do a double image because, of course, I didn't wind the thing one time. Oh, that came out great.
Right.
So... then I started doing a lot of things with this energy effect, which
what's that?
You can see. And, well, basically, it's me driving the car in the dark.
Gotcha.
The thing on the dashboard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you get all these lights.
Yeah.
So then you got to figure out what your next shot's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
because it's on a black background, you just get the light effects.
Oh, yeah, so that's how you made these images with like the building, correct. Like Grimley State. Grimley Stainage? Is that his?
Yeah. I don't know.
Grimley?
I just made him up.
That's cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I was wondering what the deal was with those.
There was one, yeah, I think so there's one with a person in, which I was really, I don't know, it might have been with your pin, Holger, I don't know. Saw one with the one you call Static or something? I've lost it now. I was looking at it earlier.
That's one I just got back from the shop, which came out really good.
But that was, yeah, so you've got maybe your son or something in one side, then you've got the, so these lights on the side, this is just you driving somewhere and
that's
getting
the
some
driving.
Random.
Correct.
Yeah, well, so
depending on how much you leave it open, sometimes I do a little, sometimes a lot.
That's a great great scope there for creativity, because depending on how you, well, the thing is, you don't really know what you've got, do you? But you don't.
You got to try and
got a bit of serendipity going on.
What generally works best is like a graphic sort of background,
yeah,
and a human in there somewhere.
Right. We're all drawn to figures with humans in, and I was struck when I first started looking at your pictures. I thought I don't know what camera you were using. I do know because you've just told us, but they don't appear to be a laser drilled pinhole. I thought maybe you'd stuck a pin through a bit of tin foil or something, because I love it. Well, you see, we've talked about this before, in fact several times on the show, because we're now up to clickety click 66, so we're bound to repeat ourselves a bit. So we've talked about the difference between super sharp pinholes and the dreamy ones, and say, well, actually, you know, this is supposed to be a real lo-fi game we're in here, so stick a pin in a hole, guys, and see what happens. And you know, you've got this awesome set of really sort of film noir darks toned pictures, and there's either discernible pictures of humans in them or shadowy figures. I thought they're clearly not made with a zero or a reality.
No.
And if you've got a subject who isn't too willing to pose for you, you can say, well, no one will ever know who you are.
That's true.
So are you consciously drawn towards these sort of dark, shadowy images, Ed? Is that...
Yeah, sort of. Film noir, I guess.
Film noir,
appropriate.
Yeah.
Sometimes
you can't
reference.
See a pattern, can you, until you start looking back through stuff. But what do you think to all these dark, shadow ones? I love the ones with people in. I saw one, I commented on one a little while ago, Ed. It's actually not, it's a colour one, so there's not
Which
so
one?
Many colour ones. The one with all the brown tones in, and there's...
Are you under pinhole color pinhole? I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, just under pinhole, mate.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's one called Damage Done. So sometimes I like to see a title, sometimes I don't. But this is with two people bang in the middle of the picture, probably overseas somewhere. And I commented on it a minute ago.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that was in, Italy.
Yeah, because it looks a bit Italian. And I said, this is like a snapshot of a memory. I find myself reaching out to place myself in it. What a great image. So it's kind of dreamlike, and it's almost like a memory to me. It's not my memory, but that's the way it made me feel.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely.
You got it, man.
Yeah.
So with these shots with like the... I think it looks like 6.45 format, but I guess it's the 35mm, the dummy in the chair with the green. Is that with the piece, Sharon?
That's with that, correct.
Yeah, okay.
Probably so 3 minute exposure, maybe. It's indoors.
That's a great shot, man.
That dummy was pretty funny. A lot of stunts with that thing.
That's fun.
At the hospital.
Yeah, sure.
They used to park them down the hallway. So, yeah, he's very popular.
So most of these...
He's demented.
He's what?
He's a bit demented, that guy. Yeah, if you read the stories with him in it.
That's how I feel after I listen to Andrew talk about salt prints.
I haven't done any much salt printing in a while, actually. I've run out of silver nitrate.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And so... and I've got so many other prints to make. Salt prints are going to go on the back burner for a little while.
Yeah,
I've got lots of lift prints that I've not really shared with anybody yet, so I'm working on those. But it's time in the darkroom, isn't it?
Yeah. Cool.
So these would make great prints, Ed.
I think so.
Do you know what you ought to do? I saw somebody. It might have been in the Lensless Podcast Facebook group. Somebody was presenting their images. They were probably, I don't think they were darkroom prints. They were making some prints, and they were sticking them into a watercolor book with ring binders. So I thought, first of all, they were printed onto watercolor, but they weren't. They were just using the watercolor as an album, effectively.
Oh, okay.
Great. And but some of your shadowy film noir-y type things, you would look great presented in that way. Or you should make a zine. I'd buy a copy, or you could send me one free of charge.
All right, we'll see. That's being very ambitious.
Yeah.
So, Ed, did you go through that? Well, you already told us about that, so you kind of did. But has pinhole photography kind of taken over everything for you, like it has for everyone else? You know, like as soon as you started doing pinhole, you're kind of like, okay, that's it for everything else, and just
pretty much, yeah. It started, not taking the other cameras. They weren't that great anyway. I mean, I could went two ways doing this to get a better camera, more precise or whatnot. But
right.
Did not speak to me, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the pinhole did, you know. Could do what I wanted. It's more artistic. You can layer things in two or three images, right. Different effects.
Sure.
You're clearly far more traveled than my lovely co-host. So you've been around to, there's some Italian shops on here and the Vienna, certainly. What did you do a grand European tour with your P. Sharon?
Been over a few times, two or three. Vienna was, I think, last summer. We did this sort of Tyrolean thing where we went northern Italy and then over to Vienna, sort of lower Austria, which was good. Innsbruck. Never really been there. It was fun.
Cool.
Made sense, too.
And the P. Sharon, I'm kind of familiar with it. That was a self-assembly camera? Is it a self-assembly?
Yeah, it's a cardboard kit. It's a Japanese model, and you put it together.
You had one of these, didn't you, Curry, or something similar?
No, I had something similar. It was a knockoff of that, and it sucked.
And it takes 35mm film.
35mm, yep.
Correct. They made one, I think, with 120. You know, bigger.
But do you find you're using it like other people would do an iPhone? So you're, because you've got, you know, 36s, like, yeah, for us large format and medium format shooters, 36 exposures is like heaven, you know. So are you using it more in a sort of snapshotty way? That's not meant to mean to be derogatory, because you know what I mean, rather than if you've got one image in, like if I take my Harman boxy thing out, you know, the Obscura, then I'm kind of thinking, looking for that one image. But when you've got 36, you know, do you find yourself using it just to record? If you're in Vienna, you know, would you be just walking around and blasting through the film? Or are you working in more considered way?
Sometimes. It's easy to carry. That's what
I'm
talking about.
That's
it fits
probably,
in the palm.
Yes,
yeah,
all my
hand.
Waffle. I think that's probably what I was getting to. If it's small, you've got lots of shots, and so there's no hassle to get it out and make pictures, is there, really?
Correct. And I think I'm on my fourth one now. I managed to get one off of eBay because they don't make it anymore.
Right.
So got one in waiting on the way.
Have you tried? They're quite hard to make, aren't they, with 35mm, using 35mm film? How does it do the frame counting? Or is it just like one and a half turns?
One and a half, basically. Mm. Two at the beginning.
Yeah, and it gets closer.
I haven't had any issue yet.
Okay.
Where it overlaps. Sometimes I go more.
And do you hand hold it, or are you putting it on a little tripod?
Yeah, I try to usually balance it on some kind of building.
Yeah, sure.
Something steady.
So I'm looking at a picture in your Flickr stream, and it's shot. I don't know where it's shot. I wanted to think it was shot in overseas. It's a doorway with a ghost of a lady carrying a shopping bag in front of it, and it's called Can't Come In.
That one.
So it's from July, about 2 years ago, and it says, "Yeah, I don't know where it was photographed."
I'm not sure where that one was.
But was that was with your P Sharon? Because that's got that same aspect ratio, I guess.
Correct. Yeah.
And is that a double exposure, or
that is a double?
Because that's and would you set upon that? In did you do if you can remember 2 years ago? Did you make that image, constructively, consciously, or was it just pure luck? Did you see a doorway and then you went to look for a woman to sort of?
Oh, that was the wife.
She was is it? Oh, okay.
So yeah,
you weren't stalking some random woman.
Yeah, I like those. Sort of graphic doors are always good to stick people in front of.
Right.
And luckily enough, I think there was a pole or something there where I could get off too quick, open and shut. You know, I leave them open about a minute. I mean, a second and a half for each, and then tell them to leave.
Is that, do you standardize on one film so you get to know your medium?
Yeah, I just use 100.
That's pretty simple.
100 speed. So.
Well, any 100 speed.
Usually Kodak, T-Max, or Fuji.
Okay.
And sometimes Ilford.
I'm guessing you're not really using pinhole assist, and you're more of a using the force to judge your exposure by force and experience. Is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it. I spent years using the force to judge my exposure, and then I got the sweats when somebody told me I should be using pinhole assist. And
no,
I used to just get great results by, following some basic guidelines and
exposing
then guessing
yourself in public.
Yes. Now, by the time you got your phone out and worked out what combination of film and bloody camera you've got, I've missed the moment, you know?
Yeah, but even after using, now that I've used that app a lot, if I'm outside and there's any sun involved, it's a second. You know what I mean? Like if I start getting into really tricky stuff and the sun's setting and I don't know, I'll check it. But any other time that you're outside and it's bright, I mean, it's a second most of the time.
I can't bring myself to try and do a second. I always have to give it more, and I think, I just have to give it more, and it's probably I shouldn't really.
You gotta have fast fingers, Andrew.
But I think I can't possibly have squeezed enough light in a second. I need to give it at least two or three.
Oh man, you'd be surprised. Sometimes, for me, I mean, it's saying even less than a second, half a second. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Now I was in. Where was I recently? I had some. I shoot a lot with 400 speed film in the UK because, mostly the weather's crap. And but with what we call bright sun the other day, it was like saying something like quarter of a second. So I gave it a couple of seconds.
That's fast. A quarter of a second will be as fast as you can move your finger off the shutter and put it back.
Yeah, no, I thought that. I can't possibly have sucked in enough light.
Don't be scared, Andrew.
No, I need to. I like sucking in more light. You know, you want to feel the light coming in. Like this, there's another awesome shot here. A color one, Ed. Unsafe at any speed. So I don't know what this reminds me of, but it's
which
got,
one is that?
It's got cars,
Oh, I gotcha.
Movement of cars, white crossing lines, or they're not crossing lines, are they going across the road? I love the color palette. It was August 2017.
Probably just waiting to cross the street.
He got that sort of blue tone, tones, and the cars. That's just awesome. Yeah, you must have held your finger on that trigger for more than a second, didn't you?
That one's probably two or three. Yeah, I like the cruddy weather because you can do more.
Yeah,
without the sun. Sun's the enemy. Definitely. Especially when you use the 100 speed.
Yeah.
The hunge.
The hunge. The hunjo.
Keep it consistent.
Yeah. Andrew reads into stuff a bit too much sometimes, so you got to kind of just be like, no, this is love.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to, I don't want to undersell our guests. So, I'm you know, just there's, thinking. I all like, these... but that isn't that part of it, you know, we can all look at, you know, Ed's presenting us with an image, like I'm sitting one, looking at one here of a chair with a standard lamp next to it, and he's given me a title, and so Ed must be trying, anyone who gives a title, that photograph has some kind of meaning to them. So this one says, that chair where you sat. Now, even if I hadn't seen that title, I was thinking, yeah, that's the sort of place that my mum would have sat in, you know, and she's not here anymore.
Very perceptive, yeah. It's pretty much about the time my father passed away.
Yeah.
That kind of chair.
So you see, Corey.
No. Go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead.
So you see. Empty chairs are very evocative. Are very evocative.
Yeah. And mostly darkness in that one.
Empty chairs and darkness. Yeah. Are you a happy soul, Ed, by and large?
I suppose. Most part. Happy as anybody.
And how do you find Flickr? Are you still excited about Flickr? Do you get your influences from Flickr, or do you look around on the web? Do you read books? You know, what sort of, who floats your boat when it comes to people who might influence you?
I really don't have any influences. I just do the thing I do. You know.
Yeah, yeah. That's
follow
okay.
around the groups, but you follow around the groups on on Flickr.
I mean, some of the groups, correct. I don't know. I like the people who. I like double images a lot.
Me too.
What people do with multi exposures.
Have you looked? One of our earlier guests.
You're ghosting.
John.
Hotel ones are good.
Oh, I'm just starting a series of those. Yeah, I was doing.
Keep it up.
I've got some more to post, and I've got another role or two to be developed. Yeah. But you know, I don't want to talk about that because that's all about me, and this show's about you, Ed.
On your Flickr page, Ed, there's a picture of you on your profile picture. Is that you?
No, that's not me. If you've seen the movie The Tenant, right?
Yeah,
that looks like some shit scary dude on there. I wasn't gonna say anything.
It's one of the apartment dwellers.
Oh, right.
So I figured, nah, it looks about right.
So I wasn't gonna
I
wasn't gonna
insult, I'm not that craggy yet.
I wasn't gonna insult you too much in case you came over and murdered me in my bed.
I like in the black and white albums. I like what you're doing with these energy shots.
Yeah, one of my favorite ones. If you look, it's Motorcade.
Uh huh.
The shot on the Shady Knoll in Dallas at the Book Depository. And look at the trees. This is amazing. A bunch of energy in that, which is freaking.
Find it.
That should be under the pinhole.
Is that the tree? Just called the tree.
Pinhole. Oh, I got you. Hang on.
Nah, I'm in black and white. I believe it's gone.
I'm in that black and white. Let's go to pinhole here.
But it captures this kind of weird energy from the site. Just being in that site, it's just kind of weird.
Oh, Motorcade. I see it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of my. I really like that one. But unfortunately, it's got Kodak. If you can see, I gotta get rid of that.
Where?
I guess from the you have to look carefully.
The backing paper.
I can see it. Yeah, the backing paper in there.
Yeah, I got some that are doing the same thing. Some film that did the same thing too.
But yeah, that's basically right there where the car, and the motorcade went by. Right where the
I see it now.
And the book depository.
Are you looking in the building behind? Are you looking in the Pinholga? Are you in the Pinholga album?
Yeah, it's in that one.
Yeah, towards the end. What's that? What is that movement just on the other side of the lamp pole? Is that a car or is that people walking on the sidewalk? It's got to be.
Those are people, I believe. Yeah, a row of pedestrians, I guess.
So see, you were the guy, the shadow on the grass, you know, that
shade. Yeah, shooting the pinhole.
The one that draws my eye from this album in Pinholga is alternate interiors, again, with a shadow of maybe Mrs. Jiffy. I don't know if that is Mrs. Jiffy herself. But there's a shadow against the wall with some writing across where her chest would
like
be.
Like a museum or something.
Yeah, that was we're correct, a museum. We're in museums a lot. They're indoors.
Well, they're often great places because, you know, you've often got very stylistic area, particularly modern art places. You know, there's lots of angular shapes. They can be areas of lightness and dark, can't they?
Yeah,
correct. Yeah, great places.
And these are with your dude, the 35mm, right?
That one was the
Pinholger.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in the Pinholger.
I'm going to have to put my 6.45 mask in mine and start shooting with that a little bit more. I do like 6.45.
Have you converted it to pinhole, you mean, or just with your lens in?
I don't know. I'm thinking about converting one of my Holgers into a pinhole and just shooting it with that 6.45.
Did you take the whole lens off and just put your
I took the whole box off, yeah, the whole lens off.
Yeah.
Put the foil down and taped it. I just use electrical tape as the shutter. You just pull it back.
So that just
change it every once in a while when it gets too gummy.
So that brings your pinhole closer to your film too. So you don't have that kind of traditional.
Correct. That's probably why it worked.
Yeah.
Just stabbing it with a pin, you know, and filing down the aperture.
I've never really tried butchering any of my Holgers, but is it fairly straightforward to remove the lens assembly without using brute force, or do you just have to hit it with a hammer?
Just a couple of screws, it comes right off easily.
Does it?
Comes right off.
Does it? Yep. So if you wanted to reconvert it, is it reconvertible?
Sure. If you buy the parts.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a picture of a load of gravestones on top of each other. Is that in Prague?
That one is probably Prague or Krakow.
Certainly is very familiar to a picture. In fact, I made a darkroom print of some of these stones all on top of each other because there were so many Jewish victims of the war piled on top of each other. There was just.
Are you still in Pinholger?
Yeah, I think so. It's the one that, right at the last one with cemetery stones, headstones, and then trees, and then very Czech-like buildings. In the background,
Prague, I believe.
Yep. Yeah, so I've been there, and that's a really moving place, isn't it? All you know those, and there's another sort of mausoleum place you can go to with all the names of the children who got deported off to camps and things written on the on the wall. Correct. But these places are just amazing, full of residual energy.
Definitely,
they make some fantastic pictures.
Yeah, that's what I try and get. Feed off of this sort of, you know, history. Yeah.
You'd love Prague, Corey?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go one day.
And, yeah, these ghosty images. So in the same album, the other one I like, very sort of cubist. Yeah, obviously, we're referencing all sorts of artist stuff here, aren't we? So there's this sort of square structure thing, looks like a stone table or something, and then again you've probably got some people walking underneath it, but you can just make them out.
Shadows. Oh yeah, that's
Vestiges. That's a lovely title as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was at the Fort Worth.
What is that? It's Fort Worth.
It's an art museum there.
Okay.
And I think that is sort of just kind of a column thing. I think it's a sculpture.
Well, you know, you're putting more thought into your images than I do, I have to say.
Maybe.
Vestiges are great titles, sort of suggests
as long as you have remains fun, that's all that matters though, you know. I
mean, yeah, after the fact title.
Yeah.
No idea what I was gonna get.
No, at the time.
Like
see how these images speak to you afterwards, can't you?
True.
Oh, I've seen the grassy knoll picture now. Is that the place then where
that is the place. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. That's where Mr. Holger did his.
Yeah,
he did a book about that. About
he
the,
did. Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was just trying to remember who we'd spoken to recently. Who'd
Michael?
Who'd been there, Michael? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of energy you feel on that site.
So that bit of road there, is that the spot?
That's where the car came down. The building on the left, that's the window where allegedly, the shooting
so
the, Oswald was
so
in,
do you see
the book depository.
Andrew, do you see where that light post is?
Mm-hmm.
And then just to the right of it, that's where all those people, blurred people are?
Yeah.
The car was somewhere in that area, I think.
Right about there.
Yeah. Window. Yeah, when it happened, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a...
Can you remember where you were that day, Corey?
Me? I was still...
I don't recall.
I was still floating in the universe. I wasn't... I wasn't alive yet. Where were you at, Andrew?
I was still a glint in my father's eye as well. Was it 64, 63? When was it?
63,
yeah.
Yeah, I had two or three more years to go.
I thought you were born in 50, Andrew.
No.
You and Moses shared the same birthday. Yeah. Sorry, I don't think it was.
dead comic. So these aren't pinhole, are they? But these are great.
Nah, this is a whole series of.
You've done almost written a novel with one of these here, like the guy on stage smoking his. So this is the same character, isn't it? Poor Jack.
Correct.
Poor Jack lived life large.
Jack.
So you've written like an essay to go with this picture. It's awesome.
I think it's awesome, man.
The whole thing is a series, and is a comedy stint.
Huh. So this little character, is he? Is this something you made?
No, he's like a Day of the Dead figure.
Is he?
Yeah, which rather different one. It's old. It's like 40 years old.
How tall is he? How tall is Jack?
Jack is about 5 inches.
Oh, that's
4.5.
Yeah, that's nice.
He's not too big.
Send him to me so I can do some pictures with him.
Well,
he's very fragile.
Have you falls off. So this is at the same time you were doing your robot pictures. Was it similar sort of?
Correct. Path? Yeah, kind of.
Because you've mastered sort of this genre, haven't you? The sets you're using, the lighting, you're clearly.
Yeah, I kind of would just pose the things in front of some of my photos.
Right.
Very,
But these things are now crying out for a bit of pinhole love, aren't they?
I think so.
I guess. See, I've never mixed the two, but I was thinking possibly. Maybe it would be like a political thing, political statement, maybe with robots, but we'll see. I don't know.
This picture reminds me of Andrew under the robot toys. One, two, three, four, five. There's six shots in. There's a picture of this skeleton thing with like a wire arm, and it says "Top of the morning to you."
Yeah, that thing's. I like that thing.
That's awesome. Yeah, you should definitely be doing some pinhole with those. Because you could get so close to them with the pinhole, you know what I mean?
But I can understand Ed wanting to keep, this is a sort of stuff he worked on
That's
a few
awesome.
Years ago. So he's going elsewhere now.
Yeah.
And I can understand that. So you're thinking, if you like this sort of lo-fi pinhole approach, you been making any cameras, Ed, or...? Thinking about making cameras?
Nah, it's too ambitious.
Well, I mean, you've stuck a pin in a pinhole camera, so in a Holger, so that's close enough, isn't
that's
it?
That's true. Yeah, that works. So
we've got a fair. It's called War Boys Feast Week, and it's this week every year. It's been going for, I don't know, I want to say hundreds of years, but each year we have this week in July, and it's called Feast Week, and a small fairground comes down War Boys High Street, and War Boys High Street is not very big, and the fair is not very big, but they have things that go around, and I've yet to take my pinhole down and photograph those wonderful carousels.
Yeah.
So I saw your breakneck carousel that you've just... Saratoga Springs. Sounds wonderful. I'd love to go to somewhere called Saratoga Springs.
Yeah, that's where the horse racing is up here.
Oh, is that right?
Big horse town.
Is that in Florida? No, where is that?
No, that's in New York.
Oh.
Upstate.
Man, Seth. Oh, this was a while ago. Oh, is this an old 11 years? We've got comments on here from, 2008. This is an old picture, isn't it?
What, the carousel?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some
when I first started.
Some dude here doesn't... I mean, it's nice that people comment. Please don't take this the wrong way, but I'm not a fan of this shot. Say it like it is, Seth.
Whatever.
The reason for this is that you need to explain the photo and that it was taken with a pinhole camera. Why do you need to explain anything? The photo doesn't speak well on its own. I like the ghosting of the horses, but I wish there was more of the horses in motion. You basically have lost all of the elements of the carousel that make it beautiful. I don't mean to be too critical. Oh, I think you do, Seth. This is a good shot based upon what you were going for. I just don't like it.
I wonder if
whatever, man.
I wonder if that's Graham Jago's secret alter ego, so he can.
It could be.
See, that's the kind of thing you deal with.
Yeah,
actually,
one's going to be happy. I alienated a ton of people when I started shooting more pinhole.
And then a comment down from that, it says, I think this photo has great potential, but right now I don't really like it.
The colors, basically, I don't care.
The colors aren't strong enough and faded. Yeah, well, it's pinhole, man. Yeah. And it doesn't look like you've given it much thought to
I suggest you retake the photo if you can while taking a few steps back.
I'm surprised you persevered. I'm surprised you persevered with pinhole.
I don't really care what people say. Jeez. Do what I do.
This is at a time when Flickr was really kicking, wasn't it? You know?
Is that just the Flickr community or is that you know?
Yeah. No, you should
the general community there. Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
have their precise images.
So after all these comments 11 years ago, I'm going to have to make a comment in a minute. But let's see.
Can't wait.
I'll add my critique to it. So if you want some proper love, come and join the Lensless Podcast Facebook group.
All right.
And then you don't have to put up. You don't have to. You don't have to put up with the nonsense of
Andrew was trying to get past Seth. 699.
No, we're back at 707 now.
Oh, okay.
Since last week.
Nice.
We had somebody leave. I was trying to work out. I said, hands up who's left the group. Now, I know. Obviously, if you've left the group, you're not going to see the message, are you? But I was just trying to work out who might have left. It might have been some family member of mine that I added in the early days when I was trying to get the numbers up.
Possible.
You're so selfish, Andrew.
No, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do in a minute. I'm going to go and see if the fair's set up, and I've got my zero pinhole. No, I've got Todd Schlemmer's camera with some old expired slide film in, and I don't even when I put it in, I didn't know what it was, so I've been kind of guessing at exposures.
And go ahead. Sorry.
It's 100 speed, and I'm going to finish it off on the fairground with things that move. In the dark, not in the dark, but you know what? When the light's just fading and you've still got some detail in the sky, but you've just got the lights on the subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go for it. You should do it.
Perfect. I'm just going to comment on Ed's picture first. This is a pile of shit. Why do you bother with it?
Why are you even taking breaths?
It's perfect. Is Seth still on?
I don't know. I'm
sure he's had a.
You should tag him.
No, he's still. No, he's. Yeah. So this Seth dude, right? Is if you go onto his stream, I'm not going to follow him. He's got pictures of seagulls on posts.
Nice.
And.
Interesting. Do they do anything?
Let's see. Lots of boats. Crab pots.
Some butterflies.
Point. He must be over near you, Andrew.
See, that's what I rebelled against. I don't want to do anything like that.
I think if you're going to criticize somebody about photographic merit and composition, you should have a mind to the crap that you're posting on your site, Seth. Okay, I say that. I say that knowing that you're not listening to this show.
No, he's not in earshot.
I'm going to make sure I tag him in the show comments.
Leave our guests alone. There's only me allowed to insult them.
All right. One's enough, huh?
Excellent. Well, I've had a lot of fun looking at Flickr comments. I'm I like Flickr still. I like Flickr because it's the place where I dump all my photographs and then I download them onto Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, I tried Instagram. I didn't like. I think the media is right for a pinhole.
No,
you snap something with your cam, your phone, and you know, then you send it off.
Yeah, I don't use it for that. I use it for, for the pinhole one. I'm just putting pinhole scans or negative scans or print scans on there.
I tried it one. I actually had one.
I don't know. People use it in different
private one or public one and under a different name. It kind of took off a little bit. Then I deleted it.
Top
nah. All right. I'm against this. I had it for like 2 weeks.
You could become a Instagram influencer.
Yeah.
No, hell no.
There you go.
God, no.
Nightmare. Some people use Instagram as a gallery, don't they, of their pictures, and that's the way I use it for my pinhole. Other people use for recording snapshots of what they're up to, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I think it's more for that. I don't know. I don't like it. Less I'm on, the better.
Right.
Any darkroom work you've ever toyed with, Ed, or you want to get into? Because I have to mention printing and darkroom work.
I haven't made prints yet. I do develop in the black and white in a can. And I'm going to look into the color now.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Corey's suggestion.
Yep, should do it.
But whatever you do, make prints or get a blurb book or publish a zine of your awesome film noir-y type images, because you know all this stuff out there on the bad old internet will eventually disappear. You know, come the invasion or the second coming, it'll all disappear.
And you can start over.
Now we've got Trump and Boris in charge. Nothing's safe. So make prints. Think of the legacy for your children and your children's children.
They'll be millionaires. My kids are going to be millionaires one day.
Are they? What, just by selling your prints?
Yeah.
Have you got any trips planned, Ed? With your P, Sharon?
No, we're done at the moment. Maybe some local stuff. But... in January.
Do you find influence? Are you sort of influenced by where you live, or do you find that you have to travel to get your pinhole mojo going?
Both, actually. Around here, I hang out in cemeteries a lot. There's a lot of old colonial cemeteries.
Yeah, looking at that picture of you at the top, I can see, yeah, there's a guy who hangs out in cemeteries.
Big cemetery fan.
Jumping out and scaring small children as they pass.
Yeah, the ones from, you know, colonial times have some really interesting carving, a lot of skeletons, a lot of weird stuff on there, which you don't see in anywhere else in this country.
Sure.
If you get yourself over to France in Paris, there's a couple of Gothic cemeteries. The one I spent some time in last year, I think, was in Montmartre, where...
Jim Morrison?
No, he's not in that one.
He's farther out.
Somewhere. Yeah, he is. He's not in that one. I don't know which famous people are in this one, but it's all very... There's lots of... each street has got cast iron names on, you know, it's all very kind of gothic-y. And then they've got the mausoleums, and some of them have... you can look into some of them. Some of them are broken. Mm. And then you've got these... big lifelike statues lying down and some looking at you as you turn the corner.
Oh, yeah, I think that one's Pierre Lachaise. Is that the one?
What, the one where Jim Morrison's buried?
No, the one you're talking about.
I don't know. I know it's in Montmartre, which is where the Sacré-Cœur is and all those places. But that's just such a wonderful place. And I went to one in Atlanta, just on the outskirts of Atlanta, the... big old cemetery there where another few famous people are buried. I can't remember who they were, but great places for pinhole photography.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Père Lachaise is the one I think you're talking about.
Get yourself over to France.
I was there a long time ago in that one.
But yeah, make yourself, print your pictures, Ed. Make a zine or a little book, you know?
Will do.
And these film noir, shadowy, ghosty images are just fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Thanks a bunch.
Cool.
I've been reading a good book.
Oh, I didn't know you could read.
Would you like me to tell you? I know. I've learned to read this week. In fact, we've just come back from 3 days in the caravan, you know.
And it rained.
It rained solidly. It rained solidly. But we were very cozy, and we had plenty of beer and wine.
I don't want to hear about the caravan a rocking.
Don't come a knocking. So I picked up this book recently, and it's from the Victoria and Albert Museum Photography Library. So for the UK folks, it's published by Thames and Hudson, and it's called Cameraless Photography.
Mm.
And I haven't really had a... I was flicking through it while I was away, but I haven't had a chance to really go into it in any detail. But it's lots of historic artists, a lot of photograms and montages. Not so much pinhole, I don't think, but lumen-type prints and...
Tim Hudson is the name of it? Well, who was that?
No, it's published by Thames and Hudson.
Oh.
That's a publisher. And it's put together by a guy called Martin Barnes. But it's called Cameraless Photography. And if I go through the chapters, yeah, it's there's a whole... I thought there was a sort of contents page. Mm. Cameraless Photography, Glossary of Processes and Techniques for... that's not very helpful. But if you're interested in images that aren't made with a camera, this is another fun place to go and...
Check it out
and get some influences. Yeah. So, published by Thames and Hudson, V&A Photography Library. So I think this is, yeah, it says on the back, it's easy to assume that photography requires a camera, but just as a painting can be made without a brush, so a photograph can be made without a camera. Mm. Cameraless images offer an alternative, experimental, radical, and often revelatory form of vision.
I think Seth would not like.
No, he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. No. Pretty sure. You got to compose it differently.
Seth, you tit.
Yeah. Go and photograph another butterfly, Seth.
We should all go and just send Seth with a whole bunch of negative things. He's going to be like, what the hell?
Yeah. I don't even know these guys, and they give me so much abuse.
Well earned.
So yeah. that's my crappy book. Well, it's not a crappy. It's a good book.
It looks pretty good.
It was a crap. The review I gave it was crap, but it's actually a good book to have, and it's It's one. There's a lot of pictures in it, Corey. So
you'll be fine, mate. That's right. Sweet.
I'm still waiting after 66 shows for you to do a book review. I've done two or three now.
I'm just not into books, man. I probably won't ever do one, Andrew.
Did we, apart from my communication from Mr. Graham Young of the Homemade Camera Podcast, do we have any communication this week?
Not really, except for we have a few people who chipped in a couple of bones to the coffee account. Mark Foll, Joe and Lindgren, and Dominic. You know Dominic, old Dom, Silverthorn.
Mm-hmm.
He'd get us a couple of bucks too.
Well, thank you. Have you got enough to renew your passport yet?
Yeah, I do actually. And come to you.
It'd be lovely. We'd love to have you here. Show you the sights.
Let me redo his name. Joan Lindgren. Lindgren. Sorry, Joan. Joan. I've butchered.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. All those folks who've been kind enough to donate towards Curry's fund.
And we have a zine that's on the way. Won't be long for the show. So,
yeah, great.
If it works out good, we're going to do some more. So, yeah.
Is that what some of the funding has been used for?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great.
So I think when you were talking about the zine, you were you'd had, because there was that FD, was it FD photo, FD pinhole thing that was published a few years ago. It would be, you know, this isn't going to rival that to start with, but it's something we could build up to, isn't it? With if folks like the idea, but this is, so we're dipping our toes in the water with this scene,
and then
with some largely Facebook people, or some of the guests we've had on.
That's what I'd like to revolve it around, the guests, you know, once or twice, three times a year.
Yeah.
The guests, just make it about those. So, so if you want to come on to Be in the Zen, you need to let us know that you want to come on and talk to us.
Well, I think anybody who's posting into the Lensless Podcast Facebook group is game to be
on the crosshairs
on the in our sights. Yeah. You know. So, you know, we'll get round to you eventually, I'm sure, you know, because all the folks who are posting on there are producing some very thought-provoking and great work, you know. Some people I reach out to, they say, oh, no, I wouldn't want to come on. So we have to keep working on you. You know who you are. People have asked and you've refused. You know who you are.
And don't think that some people have even said, I don't know if I would, you know, why I'm not that interesting of a person. Everybody's interesting.
They are.
You know, we like talking to everyone, to all the Justin Quinnells, and to all the anybody that's doing it because they love doing it. You know, we like to talk to everybody. So,
if pinhole's your thing, then come and have a chat with us.
Then you're in. You're in the group, man, and you answer the question.
And you're not. We're not too scary.
Yeah.
Nah.
I'm not, anyways. Andrew is bought a caravan, so he's basically a pikey now. Is that how it works? Do you talk like those people, Andrew?
Yeah, yeah. I'm starting to make things out of old pegs, clothes pegs, and
bloody
bunches of lucky heather. I've got to make some money in my semi-retirement. So
gypsy, you're turning into a gypsy.
I am. I've got some Romany blood. So my mum used to say she had some Romany blood, you know. So maybe that's it. That's why I've lent towards a caravan.
You should get a sticker that you should put on the back of your caravan that says, "Not all who wander are lost."
Well, I would, if I had a Lensless Podcast sticker, that would definitely go on the back.
Yeah.
So
you could turn it into a pinhole camera too.
Well, I've seen that. Somebody did post, I think, that, well, we had Heather on the show. We'll have to get her back on again at some point, see what she's up to. Heather Oakless, and she drives Little Miss Sunshine, a big van. I don't know if you've listened to that show, Ed. Last year sometime. So she has this big yellow van, and she drives up alongside things and exposes a pinhole onto a matrix of photographic paper on the other wall.
8 by 10.
Yeah. And so she might have like 68 by 10 sheets and make a composite negative image, which she then has gallery shows and all sorts, doesn't she, Corey?
She develops them right there in the truck too, and she displays them as negatives. She doesn't even make positives. She just displays it as a humongous negative.
No, sounds great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Check us out.
Okay, well, Ed, thanks for coming.
My phone's near death.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll let you know, let everybody know where to find you at, but I guess there's only one spot.
That's it. Pretty easy.
That's the Flickr.
Yep.
And if you want to go, if you want to go and check out Seth's work and give it and go on his site and give him some abuse, you can you can follow. You can get a link from Jiffy's Ed's site.
I'll put the link for Ed's Flickr in the show notes. I'm not going to put. You have to find Seth yourself. That's the bonus points. If you find Seth, you got to let us know.
Poor old Seth. He's probably a really lovely guy. You know, he's going through a hard time.
Rough day.
Yeah.
Seagulls. I think I have a seagull on my website. I snuck up behind it.
Yeah. So, Andrew, everybody knows where to find you, and they know where to find me, I'm pretty sure. So. But come check out the Facebook group, Ed. I think you'd like it if you want
All right.
You know, there's no... no pressure to.
You have to answer a question. You have to answer a question.
I do.
You do, yeah. But it's fairly simple, I think.
It'll be a pinhole oriented question.
I think I can.
Should we give him a multiple choice? No? Okay.
No. All right. We'll let you in, Ed. It's fine. Don't worry.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Thanks for having me
thanks
on.
Thanks for coming, Ed. It's fun. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah, good to chat. Good to chat with you, Ed.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And
been a lot of fun.
And what else is going on, Joe? I guess who's next week? Who's our guest next week? Oh, you know who our guest next week is going to be? Do you know who our guest next week is going to be?
Well, I've invited someone, but maybe you have as well. So maybe we've got a clash of guests
for the fourth. This guest is already confirmed. He's coming.
Oh, right. Well, I better tell my guest that she can't come on the fourth then.
I already told you. We have Mr. Kurt Mottweiler is coming up next Sunday.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
He's going to be here. So.
Well, Sharon Harris, if you're listening, you can't come on the fourth. We'll try and get you on the next week.
The 25th. Somebody's on the 11th also.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, we need to talk to each other about it.
I told you.
You didn't tell me.
We'll do this later.
So can we have our bickering off air, please?
Yeah. So, everybody have a great week. Thanks for hanging out and listening. And thanks, Ed. And we'll talk to everybody soon.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we're still here, and you can just edit. You can edit. Link with all these ones that are very low key, aren't they? Film noir-y type images. You could do you could put all those together. Great.
Yeah, I try and keep it sort of grungy.
Yeah.
Are we starting or?
No. Well, no, we're not. We'll do. We'll have this conversation in a minute. Corey, yeah, I got a postcard from Graham Homemade Camera, which if I can read his scrawly writing, I'd like to read out.
All right.
It's addressed to Salt Lord Bartram.
Nice.
Now, I don't know what paper he's using because I'm going to have to pick him up on something. Yeah, you see, he's talking about dry down in printing and he's using resin coated paper. Well, you don't really get dry down in printing, Graham. I'm going to come on to that in a minute.
So, Ed?
Yeah.